Well, here we go. Today, live from Cleveland and Sacramento on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Sacramento is getting some new air service. You can't go naked on a Spanish beach, and tourists' interference with nature costs a Yellowstone Park baby bison its life. Now, we have the stories.
Nan, I mentioned we're live from Cleveland, and indeed, that's where Mark is at 3:20. He has an update on the city that the Republicans will be calling home this summer.
Adhesion contracts. It's not a clear or a sexy subject, but it's an important one. At 3:35, Jessica Monsell from Elliott.org, the country's best consumer advocacy website, joins us to make you a smarter traveler.
And finally, at 3:45, I get Mark to open up, talk to us about some of the trips that he's hosting this summer and fall. And I got to say, what a great variety of fun things to see and do.
It's a springtime Sacramento Sunday, and we thank you for spending part of it with the Travel Guys.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys here every Sunday from 3 to 4 o'clock, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. As I mentioned, I'm Tom Romano here in studio. Beautiful Sacramento, what a day, I'll tell you, with the clouds and the nice weather and all. And then Mark all the way across the country there in Cleveland for a little vacation or a little trip for Sports Leisure Vacations. And we'll talk more about that coming up. Mark, hello from Sacramento to Cleveland, my friend.
Hey, how about that? It's a little bit of an unusual connection here. I'm just catty corner from the baseball stadium here, which is known as Progressive Field. It used to be known as Jacobs Field when it first came into existence some 20-plus years ago. And then just not too far from that is the Q, which is where the Cleveland Cavaliers play. And, of course, they had a playoff game last night. They were in Toronto. However, I will tell you that many thousands of fans came here to the stadium and to the arena in Cleveland and watched the game. Unfortunately, it didn't end well for the Cavaliers. But nice city, Cleveland. I do want to take a few minutes and talk about that a little bit later on, because I think that this is a destination that people don't even probably consider a destination if they live outside of this region, Tom. And it's really a very beautiful city. Every time I'm here, which is every 10 years or so, I am reminded that this really is a nice place to come to. So anyway, I've got some ideas about some things that folks can see and do next time that they head this direction.
And speaking of things to do, the number of people from out of town that have visited the Sacramento area over the last several days is astronomical. First of all, with the Amgen tour, and then starting with one of the races up in Folsom a few days ago, where virtually every hotel space and every square inch was full of cyclist fans up there. And then, of course, people from all across the world come to Sacramento, and both cyclists and visitors, to see the finals that just finished up, as we mentioned on the news just a little while ago. So Sacramento is more than just a lazy little Northern California town, and as we move into the future with the new arena and all, it's going to continue to be so. So anybody that might be in one of their rental cars and driving around and happen to run across this radio program, welcome to Sacramento, my friends.
We are the home of a lot of friendly people, pretty reasonable hotel and restaurant rates, and not a bad place to live, I might add. So Thomas, what do you say we take a run at the travel news here?
Let's do that. And as always, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program or near it, Mark brings us the travel news. What you got, buddy?
Well, I think we may as well start with nudity. That's always, you know, they say, what was it you told me one time in radio? Always go with your best stuff first.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yes, it is true. Nudity will not become legal at a popular tourist spot in Spain, Associated Press has reported. The Spanish Federation of Naturism appealed that local legislation prohibited naturalists or nudists from beaches in historic cities, port cities in Spain, and argued that that should be a fundamental right. But unfortunately, the Spanish Supreme Court did not agree with them. And it says that at this moment, it is not an accepted practice by the majority majority of beachgoers that people are allowed to go naked. So if you're going to Spain, you might want to make sure, and you're going to lay on the beach, make sure you take some clothes because you can't go naked.
There you go. You heard it here first.
Yeah. That's exactly. We're here to make you a smarter traveler. Because, and you know, the thing I knew, Tom, was that when I came across the story, that there would be dozens, if not hundreds, of Travel Guys listeners who would be sitting at their radio. And when I teased that at the top of the show, that they would be waiting there for the update to be a smarter traveler because they're all thinking of being naked in Spain sometime this summer. So listen, here's kind of an interesting one, and this kind of spins off to something personal that's happened in the last few days. Are you supposed to tip an Uber driver? This was kind of an interesting piece that popped up on a website recently, and a gentleman is talking about using Uber, and when he used it a few years ago, he says, you know, it was pretty much standard that Uber, you didn't tip. That was part of the whole deal. It was part of the beauty of the whole thing, was that you didn't have to worry about it. You called for a car on your phone with an app, and the car showed up, and the whole transaction was done, and you got out of the car, and nobody ever got out a wallet or a credit card or anything. And now, of course, because their competitors, Lyft, allow people to tip their drivers, the Uber drivers are kind of caught in the middle. This writer says that a few weeks ago he was in an Uber that actually had a tip jar. I will tell you that I was just in New York City the last few days, and an Uber driver took us in from the airport, and we got to the hotel, and the Uber driver was kind of, he said, well, you know, thank you very much, and he kind of stood there outside of the car after he helped us unload the luggage, mm-hmm. and it was kind of as though he was expecting
fidgeting a little bit there,
kind of a gratuity, yeah. And then there was another situation where we called for a shared car, and the driver didn't get, and when you take a shared car, you get a better rate. The driver didn't get an opportunity to pick up another passenger until we were a couple blocks from our destination, and he chose to ignore it. Well, we didn't know this at the time, but the fact that he ignored the shared ride request and didn't pick up another rider, our charges were piled on. They went back and changed our ride from a shared ride to a single ride, and it cost quite a bit more. So the whole Uber thing is, kind of interesting right now. I don't know whether you would tip an Uber driver or not, but I will tell you this: increasingly, Uber drivers are expecting that there might be a little something extra in it for them, because it is with their competition. And you know, a lot of these folks who drive for one company, Tom, a lot of them drive for both.
Sure, why not?
So, and a lot of them are professional, a lot of them in New York are professional limousine drivers and the like, who when they're not busy with their company, you know, they've gotten the permission to be able to pick up other people. So if anybody has an interesting Uber or Lyft story, a shared ride story that they would like to share with us, you can go to travelguysradio.com and just flip us a little note and leave me your email address, and I would be more than happy to contact you, and perhaps we can talk about it, have you on the program, or at least talk about what your situation was. TSA, the lines, they're long all over the country. I can attest to this, but they're not long at every airport, and there is some hope that they're going to get better. There is also another interesting thing that's come up this week. You know, Tom, there are about two dozen airports in the country that don't use TSA.
Right. They hire an independent contractor to provide the same kind of services. How's that working out for them?
It's called the screening program, and I will tell you that it is in place in some fairly major airports, San Francisco, Orlando, Kansas City, Key West, which is an airport I use a couple of times a year, has the private security. And it's very interesting, if you go online and you start looking up the major airports here that the private companies are handling the security at, there are far fewer complaints about. In fact, I couldn't find a single complaint about a security line at San Francisco International. I did find a couple about Orlando. I didn't find any at all about Kansas City. So it appears as though it's called the Screening Partnership Program, and it appears as though some of the airlines in the country, or some of the airports in the country, have chosen to opt out of TSA. It doesn't mean they've opted out of security. It just means that they've opted out of having TSA handle the security, and apparently it's working fairly well, at least anecdotally, for some of those cities. So kind of interesting. Have you ever had a bad TSA experience, Tom?
You know, I the not me personally. I did have a family member who, after checking in advance that you could, it had to do with my daughter and her driver's license and had not been changed when she got married. So the name on her driver's license wasn't accurate, and we were told that if you just show up with your marriage certificate and your birth certificate, it'll be no problem. But it was a big problem, and here again, I think it was a case by case situation. But on the whole, I have to say I've had a really good experience with TSA almost every trip.
I have too. I really have to say to folks, this is really important, especially right now. TSA has told us they're shorthanded. We can sit here and argue all day about whose fault that is, but it is a reality right now. And you might go to Sacramento and you might say, well, you know, the line's no longer than it usually is, and then you would get complacent. And if you were flying out of a major airport during a peak time, a Thursday afternoon, a Friday afternoon, a Sunday afternoon, a Monday morning, a Tuesday morning, maybe not Tuesday morning so much, but certainly Mondays, you could run into an hour and a half security line, and maybe you haven't allowed enough time for that, and suddenly you've missed your flight and planes are full or you had to be somewhere. So this is not something to take lightly. It is something to be be informed about when you're flying into another city. Ask the people that you're visiting in that city, you know, what have you heard about TSA lines? But the other thing that's really important is you've got to go to the airport prepared to zoom through security. You've got to make one last check to make sure that you don't have a bottle of shampoo or a bottle of water or something in your bag that is, if it's marginal at this point, folks, do all of us a favor, leave it at home. If you're not sure if it'll go through security, ask a TSA official before you get to the front of the line or you start to go through security and now they have to pull your bag aside. Because all it takes is, if everybody slows down the line 2 or 3 minutes, we're all in big trouble. So it really, the best thing we can all do for each other at this point is to be prepared to get to sail through security. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. Just play by the rules, please, because it's to everyone's benefit this summer if everybody tries to make an effort to handle that. Did I say that right, Thomas?
That, very good. Well stated. I'm on board with it.
I think you made
everybody a little bit of a smarter traveler, and we will see it in the lines.
Well, we can all help each other if we just make their job a little bit easier. Okay, I know some folks have probably already seen this story. It's been around for a few days, but the Yellowstone Park story about the visitors. You know, in Yellowstone Park, there are signs and flyers that tell people to stay at least 75 feet away from wild animals because they are indeed wild animals. And last week, a couple of tourists literally picked up an animal in the park, put it in the back of their SUV, because they thought it was too cold for the animal, and they took it to a ranger station. This was a baby bison. Park rangers immediately took the animal back to where the two men found it, and they tried valiantly over a couple of days to reunite the animal with its mother and with its herd. But the calf was shunned by the other animals. It began to approach people in the park and stuff like that. The animal had to be euthanized. So in essence, these people who thought that they were doing this tremendous favor for this animal who was in its own natural environment, it ended up causing the death of the animal. So that's a little bit of an extreme case, but it does point out, folks, these are wild animals. If there's some part about the phrase wild animals you don't understand, then you probably would be better off going to the zoo than going to a national park, because bothering the animals and ruining where they live is going to cause problems for everybody. So anyway, enough of that. Thomas, we have a lot of things at TravelGuysRadio.com, including things we don't really go into on the news here, like the perfect yoga routine before you get on the plane. And here is a tip from Smarter Travel that's there on our website about the most perfect place to hide cash when you're traveling.
Okay.
I'm not going to give it away. You got to go to the website to look at it. And that's all I have in the travel news for today.
All right. And right after a short break, we're off to Cleveland to see what's going on, why Mark's there, and why you might want to visit soon. Right here on The Travel Guys. We are The Travel Guys. Hold on a second. I'm working my neck. I'm doing my before I go on the flight yoga. I'm also checking out 10 classic cocktails that I can make on a plane. And how to fly as a VIP. I love this website. Where'd you get this? This travelguysradio.com, Mark. This has got all kinds of cool stuff. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacation. Romano here in Sacramento. Mark Hoffman in Cleveland. Mark, welcome back, and tell me, why Cleveland?
Why Cleveland? Well, because it's the site of a Sports Leisure Vacations mystery tour. I have 25 travelers in tow here, and we're hitting a couple of spots in Ohio about what I do. In fact, there's a rumor that we may have a live audience here before the end of the program. But I just wanted to share, because Cleveland, you know, Tom, when you say Cleveland to people, nobody says, oh, wow, you're going to Cleveland? Oh, I'm so jealous. I've been here a few times, and I've never had anybody ever, you know, give me that sort of a response. But this is really, I mean, admittedly, it's colder than bejesus here a lot of the year. You know, they put the football stadium right next to Lake Erie, which I think is somewhat masochistic, because, of course, they only play football games in the dead of winter. And the snow and the wind coming in off that lake would really make you a frozen football fan. But this city has a tremendous amount of cultural arts. It has it's a city that is not it's seen the bottom, and it's been a while since the bottom, and it's on its way back up. And I'm sure that being here in the middle of the winter is probably a little bit difficult. But you know, this morning, Tom, we took our folks to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which arguably, you know, it's only a little over 20 years old now, but I'd say it's probably the most famous thing in Cleveland, I'm guessing.
I would say. I think that probably Cleveland, Ohio, is recently, certainly in the last 20 years, I mean, that's what is probably known for most.
Yeah, and it really is a world-class museum. And if you like rock and roll, or if you've just have been alive in the last 50 years and you like music, then you're really going to enjoy a visit there, because everything from Elvis and the old blues and things that led up to rock and roll that you might not think of as rock and roll-ish, and all the way up to current rock and roll bands and old rock and roll bands that folks like you, Tom, would you know, love to know more about. I mean, it's an opportunity to learn more about the people that whose music that you admired, in some cases for most of people's lives. So we had a couple of private gallery talks, one about Elvis Presley and one about the history of rock and roll. So quite an enjoyable visit. There's a lot to see there. You really need at least 3 or 4 hours to see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We gave our folks about 2.5 hours today, but if you were going to go top to bottom, I would say 3 or 4 hours, probably half a day.
Well, you know, Cleveland is—it's actually a very beautiful town. It's you know, surrounded by what looks like a couple of really large rivers. Is that what we have here? And
a lot of bridges. Yeah, they're very much, they're kind of a little bit of a Portland-ish like city, in that they're on a huge body of water. I got to tell you where we went this afternoon, though. Yes, but this afternoon we went to see, there's a very famous landmark here in Cleveland. If you're a fan of Christmas movies, and you've ever seen the one about Ralphie and the rifle, the Christmas Story House is here in Cleveland. And there's a wonder, we went there this afternoon, there's a wonderful story about how they stumbled onto it. It's completely by accident, because it's supposed to portray a town in Indiana, and how they found the house and everything is really quite interesting. I would recommend, if you come to Cleveland, a visit to the Christmas Story House is really, really worth your time, especially if you're an old mushball for those sort of things. We went to a place for lunch today in Cleveland called Nighttown, which is not a destination as much as it is just a large restaurant that's been there for many years. Back in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, post-World War II, gangsters and the mob had quite a bit of influence here in Cleveland. This was kind of a part of town where they had their headquarters, and so until the feds kind of came and ran them out of town in the 60s. They had quite a bit of influence here in town. So it's fun to go back and hear a little bit about some of the mobster history. There is a lot to see and do in this town. Right across from our hotel is Progressive Field. I mentioned that. So there are three major sports facilities downtown. This is the second largest outside of New York City, the second largest in terms of cultural arts and theater seats of any place in the country, with beautiful old restored theater. Cleveland is really a remarkable city. And if you have the opportunity to come here, don't think to yourself, oh, Cleveland. Think to yourself that you're going to have an opportunity to discover a really interesting city that has a lot of nooks and crannies and old buildings that have been repurposed and redone in the downtown area. It's really a very interesting place. I give it my highest recommendation.
And did you know, I hear again, I'm doing a little web surfing while we're talking here. The movies The Avengers, Spider-Man 3, and Captain America, as well as other great films, filmed, my friend, in Cleveland, Ohio.
And they were filming a movie right here in downtown Cleveland, Ohio today with some very fancy and very expensive sports cars as we were driving by the streets. So, yes, perfect day here in Cleveland today. Must be 65, 70 degrees, and you just couldn't ask for better weather.
Well, coming up here on the Travel Guys, by the way, everything we talk about and more, always available for you at TravelGuysRadio.com. Anytime you like, and you might be out of town like Mark is, and you want to take the Travel Guys with you, we're always available on your app or on your computer at iHeartRadio.com. Now, coming up after we check the news, find out what's going on there, we got a couple of great interviews on the backside. One, we're going to be talking about adhesion contracts. And, well, you say, well, I don't think I've ever been involved in one of those. Well, you've probably signed one pretty much every time you go on vacation, either when you rent a car or you check into a hotel room. And for those that have always wondered, you know, Mark, you hear him talk a lot about with his tour directors, places that they go and see with sports leisure vacations. We're gonna sit down with Mark for a few minutes and talk about some specific places that he likes to take sports leisure travelers. Okay, Mark?
That sounds great to me, Thomas.
All of that coming up after we check the news. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. So glad to be back on the air here with Mark, and so glad to be here to make you a smarter traveler. And one of our specialties is bringing on consumer advocates to help you out. Mark, please introduce our guest.
Well, we have someone special today. We frequently have as a guest on our program, Christopher Elliott, who is one of the leading consumer advocates in the country. I am personally a big advocate of his website, Elliott.org. And it's a great place if you have travel issues or just any consumer issues in general to hang out. Today we have as a guest one of the writers from that website, a writer and consumer advocate, Jessica Monsell. Jessica, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you today. Jessica, the reason that we came in search of you was you penned an article not too long ago called Why You've Been Signing Your Rights Away Without Knowing It and How That Could Change. And you talked about these things called adhesion contracts, which if you've never worked in a legal office or had a lot of legal experience, you might not know what those are, but they pop up into our lives every day. Jessica, tell our listeners what adhesion contracts are and why they are important.
Well, adhesion contracts are essentially the customer agreement that you sign on to, sometimes without even realizing it as a consumer, across all industries. The contract is authored by that business without you having any say in the terms and conditions of that contract. So adhesion contracts, we enter into them all the time and typically never read them.
What would be an example? Like when I'm checking out, when I'm renting a car and they say initial here, initial here, initial here, and sign here. Is that an adhesion contract?
Absolutely, that is. And that's the rental car contracts are tricky, and often people don't read them until a problem arises. And that's, of course, when all of a sudden you realize where and what you've agreed to.
You know, Tom, we talked on this program mm-hmm. just not too long ago. Remember I had that 73-page addendum from Dollar Rental Car?
Yes.
And I said, who in their right mind would, first of all, they send this to you, they must have an expectation that you're not going to read it. And if I read it, I probably wouldn't understand most of it. Jessica, so how do we as consumers, how do we deal with a problem like this?
Well, in the rental car business, it is problematic, and it's something that we try to push for change in that industry so that disclosures are very clear to consumers, so that when they agree to something, they know they're agreeing to it. If they've made a reservation, for example, for a car, that they're not surprised when they get their credit card statement that all of a sudden the price has changed. So it is it's a very tricky business, and that's what we're trying to hopefully eliminate, some of that deception that does occur with adhesion contracts.
And how are you going about doing that, Jessica?
At Elliott.org, of course, we receive consumer concerns, often in the travel industry, but sometimes in other industries like the banking industry. What we do is we try to mediate cases. we educate our readers about some of these pitfalls that they need to be on the lookout for. And then we also have a journalism aspect to our mission. So we are educating not just that person who contacted us, but the larger public, so they know what to expect when they arrive at the rental counter or when they purchase a ticket to travel.
And it strikes me, Jessica, basically almost in the travel industry, every time we check into a hotel, every time we buy an airline ticket, I mean, of course, with an airline ticket, we're not signing anything, but we are automatically agreeing to the, with our purchase, the airline's contract of carriage and their tariffs, which, so that's an adhesion contract. When I go to a hotel and they say, they check me in and they say, well, sign here, Mr. Hoffman, why then that's, is that also a contract I've had no part in drawing up.
That's correct. And those are your take it or leave it contracts. And, you know, take it or leave it. Either you decide you're going to drive to your destination and not enter into a contract with a business, or you accept the adhesion contract. And you're exactly right. So that's another example.
Jessica, as it stands right now, who oversees or looks over or polices any of these adhesion contracts?
Well, right now it is it's an open season for businesses in this country.
Great to hear.
So actually, what motivated this particular article that I wrote is that there's a government agency called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and they specifically have the mission of protecting consumers in the financial industry. So they are, in essence, trying to protect us as consumers and prohibit the banks from stopping us from having class action lawsuits.
So if we were successful there, it might be a domino sort of effect. Is that what the thinking goes?
Yes, that's exactly right. So really what class action litigation is able to do, aside from compensate the class of plaintiffs, it also has an incentive in that it motivates the companies to be on their best behavior and to deter some of that sometimes deceptive bad behavior that companies can engage in from time to time. And I think consumers really don't feel empowered to stand up to their bank or stand up to their credit card issuer.
Well, and it's kind of hard to stand up to your rental car company when you're, like you said, you're standing at the counter and, you know, you need the car to get someplace and they say, you know, sign this. They're not going to give you the car if you don't sign it.
That's right. It's a way for consumers to have a voice.
The bottom line to this, Jessica, is this is a long haul. This isn't going to change tomorrow, but it's something that we need to get the pendulum swinging back in the other direction.
That's absolutely right. It's a good first step, but all it is a first step at this point.
Well, for you folks who are at Elliott.org, the people who listen to this program know that Chris's team is basically out there plugging for people like us, the people on the street. So thank you for your involvement there. That is a hugely volunteer organization. And so thank you for being a part of that. And thank you for coming on the air for us. And just a reminder to our listeners, there is a link to Elliott.org on TravelGuysRadio.com. And so you can get there. You can get updates on a daily basis from the website if you like. And certainly if you have a consumer travel problem, that is the place you should be going.
Once again, our special guest, Jessica Monsell, writer, consumer advocate. Jessica, thanks for joining us with the Travel Guys.
Thanks for having me.
And we are the Travel Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler. And don't forget now everything we talked about. And not only that, if you ever want to podcast any of our previous shows, available for you at TravelGuysRadio.com. This is Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman's in Cleveland, and when we come back after a short break, going to spend a few minutes with Mark and find out where Mark likes to take sports, leisure, vacation travelers. Now, Mark's been doing this for about 35-plus years. He started the business pretty much on his own with a few family and friends and has pretty much traveled just about every place in the United States, and he has picked out a few that are his favorites. And we're going to talk about why they're his favorites, where he's going to be going over the next this summer and fall, and how you can tag along. That's coming up next right here on The Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, The Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman directly across from me today. I don't know how that happened. And here I am on the other side, and we're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we alluded to before we went to the break, you know, Mark has had a number of his tour guides on the show talk about all the different tours that they take folks on with Sports Leisure Vacations. But, you know, Mark started off this business being the main chief cook and bottle washer and tour guide. And Mark, I know you have some specific trips that you like to take, and I thought we'd take a segment today in the program, talk about where Mark's going to be taking people in the next year.
People say, we always hear about where all of your other folks are going, but we never hear about where Mark's going. So until you're already there and you're broadcasting live from someplace. So I thought that maybe we could spend a couple of minutes here talking about some of the places that Mark is going.
Okay, and where were you, and where specifically would you like to start?
Well, I mean, it's, for example, in the middle of July, I have a little three-day trip that I'm taking to Portland. Now, most people who live in Sacramento have been to Portland once or twice or 50 times over the course of their life, and most of them know that Portland is a pretty interesting place. I mean, it's a very different city. There's no, it's no secret why our mayor went to Portland and said, wow, this is pretty cool. We should duplicate this in Sacramento.
I run into people all the time that are either have just come back to, or you go on Facebook and ran across a couple of friends that are taking a little mini vacation to Portland.
And then is it funny that while it does rain up there, it's very damp, those people have a sense of mildew about them about 6 months out of the year. But, you know, that doesn't seem to dissuade people from going there. And it almost seems to be Portland's way of keeping the population under control. You know, I mean, if people think that it's too wet there and too icky, they won't go. But of course, there's the summer is beautiful there. The shoulder seasons can be spectacular. And Portland is a really neat city. And that is what this trip is all about. It's 3 days and two nights up in Portland, just to kind of touch on some of the, you know, their motto in Portland is keep Portland weird.
And are you serious?
Yes, that's okay. their motto, keep Portland weird. And so what we're going to do is touch on some of those things that keep Portland different. For example, one of the things we're going to do is go to the Portland Art Museum. Okay, so you'd say, well, art museum, that's interesting to some, boring to most. We're going to do a scavenger hunt in the art museum.
Cool.
We're going to have two dinners in Portland because we're there two nights. So one night, we're going to dine atop the City Grill, which is way up on top of one of Portland's largest buildings, and it has a spectacular view of the whole city. It's probably a $75 dinner to go up there and have a nice dinner. The next night, we're going to go out into one of the neighborhoods where they have a block of food carts. Not even food trucks, because they don't leave ever. They're food carts. They stay there forever. There's 17 of them on one block. So we'll be able to go out and you'll have your own food court, literally right within a few steps of each other, and have all kinds of gourmet, unique foods. We're going to visit one of Portland's unique donut stores. You know, they have Voodoo Donuts, and they are known for making donuts that look like body parts, shall we say. But we're going to a gourmet donut store that doesn't have quite that same reputation, but nonetheless has $3 donuts. So, you know, maple, basil, thyme, all those kinds of combination donuts. We're going to tour the Tiny House Hotel.
Of course.
We're going to ride the aerial tramway that's in the middle of downtown Portland, because they built a hospital on a hill. The hospital ran out of parking, so they had to build the parking lot at the bottom of the hill. So how did they get up the hill? They built it. It's Portland. So they built an aerial tramway to get up the hill, and the public can ride on it. So we're going to have a wonderful little afternoon tour where we're down in the Northeastern District, and we're just going to walk to different stores and sample things and see how people make things and just fun little stuff. So it's really kind of we finish by going to the Vancouver Farmers Market on Saturday, which is Mark's favorite place on the whole planet. So,
well, I have to say, Mark, that one of the things about certainly this trip, and it seems to me most everything you do, is the key word variety, you know, that talk about, let's not see if we can do something sort of similar to what we did yesterday, but a lot of variety. Talking with Mark Hoffman, Sports Leisure Vacations, about some of his upcoming personally guided tours coming for 2016. What's next?
Well, after Portland, which is in mid-July, that's the 14th through the 16th, one of my other favorite things to do is to take people on mystery tours. Now, you know, mystery tours are people say, well, gee, why would you give somebody a whole lot of your money and you didn't even know where you were going? And there's probably some merit to that, but a lot of our customers have traveled with us a long time. They trust us a lot. This National Park Service is having its centennial this year, 100th birthday. So we're doing a mystery tour in August that involves national park sites. and to a part of the country that it's pretty likely people from California have never been to. No 10-mile hikes or no climb up to the top of 12,000-foot mountains or anything like that, but just a wonderful opportunity to see some great scenery, be educated about the area. It has a, this area we're going to has a lot of history, and really discover some things in our own country that maybe you didn't know about, hadn't seen, weren't aware of in an area during the National Park Centennial that really kind of speaks to how beautiful our country is in the great outdoors.
Well, with that being said, just briefly, we'll keep this short because we got a lot to cover.
Yeah.
What? Tell me about your very first mystery trip, and did anybody sign up, and where did you go?
Oh, gosh. You know, that's been a long time ago. I don't think I could tell you where the first mystery tour went, except that now, as
but
a
people
company,
did go.
At Sports Leisure Vacations, we run three or four of them, and people who take them frequently take them again. And oftentimes, I tease the people who travel with us, and I say, you know, mystery tours are places that I've found or that my staff has found that we know that you will really enjoy and have a great time, but you would never buy it if we told you where you were going.
Swell.
And so, so anyway, the National Park Mystery Tour is
okay.
In August. And finally, one other one I wanted to talk about here is the trip that we do to Nevada to the old ghost towns. And we've done this a couple of times. We've talked
You're really hooked on this ghost town stuff, aren't you?
I am.
This is becoming I've known Mark for 30 years, and you know, this is one of those hidden mysteries that has just sort of surfaced over the last couple of years. And folks, we can all enjoy this together. Go ahead.
It's so much fun to be out in the desert talking to a blinking box that's blinking back at you based on the questions you're asking.
Hey, I do that every time I go to Nevada. It's called a slot machine.
So we're going to do this next ghost town trip, though. Get this, over Halloween.
Perfect.
So we will be in the historic Mizpah Hotel in Tonopah. This is a hotel that is absolutely haunted, and I'll explain to you why in a second. And we are going to stay there on Halloween. And the reason I know it's haunted is because we had a group there just a month ago. A week ago, had Sports Leisure Travelers at our office, and
right.
They one of them came and showed me a picture they took in Belmont, or took in Tonopah, and there's a ghost orb in the picture.
No.
They didn't know it was in the picture when they took it, but the camera picked it up, and there it is, right on the picture. Anyways, we're going to go and see ghosts, and as I told folks at our preview day, if you come home, think of the stories you'll have to tell, and if you don't, you'll be front page news. So there you have it.
I remember, Mark, when we first started down this road, it was, you know, I'm a skeptic. I'm not necessarily a believer. And now there's ghosts in them there hills. I can prove it. I got one right here on my camera.
Listen, think about the bragging rights. You're talking about experiential travel.
Right.
So I'm just telling you, if you go with me over Halloween, you will have stories to tell that will maybe last you a lifetime, no matter how long that lifetime is. All right, one other new thing.
Okay.
Chinese Lantern Festival in Spokane.
All right.
This is in October, and big display. It's an illumination, an outdoor thing. It takes place in River Park in Spokane. They had this last year also. We're going to have hotel rooms that overlook the illumination. So we're going to have quite a good time. The Chinese Lantern Festival in Spokane. And one other thing I wanted to talk about, Tom. This is a shorter trip. This is just a day trip. You know who Anthony Bourdain is, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, the guy who's on CNN, and he's always drinking some weird cocktail or eating something that crunches mm-hmm. that was moving a few minutes ago or something like that. He's a really interesting guy, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he's on the cutting edge, so to speak.
He is. And what do you got, a one-day trip to see him?
He is coming to San Francisco.
Oh, great.
And he does a one-man show. It's called The Hunger Tour. And he is going to visit the War Memorial Opera House for one night only. An all-live show featuring an unyielding, brutally honest monologue reflecting on diverse culture, street cuisine, and his travels to lesser-known locations around the world, followed by an open question-and-answer session. I think it is really cool, and I would like to be there. So I'm just kind of suggesting
okay.
that maybe you and I would like to make that a travel guide.
A little travel guide. We haven't had one of those since the Magic Bus.
We haven't. And we could maybe give away a couple of seats, and you and I could go. Maybe the wife would like to go along, you know, to see a really interesting character. You never know.
Absolutely.
I make you a hero at home if you...
I'm loving it already.
All right. Well, it's not until November.
Okay.
So, Sports Leisure Travelers, we have this. It's available now, Wednesday, November the 16th. And when you get your newsletter in the next couple of days, you'll be able to look at it and see there. But if you'd like to go with Tom and I, why, we are planning on going, and we'll talk more about that as time definitely travels on.
Okay, so there we had a nice little rundown. We did Portland.
Yep.
We did
a mystery tour.
The mystery tour.
Ghost town.
The ghost town, and then of course maybe the San Francisco thing. Let me ask you this now. Now that you've gone over those, mm-hmm. and we've titillated people here on the radio about these trips, are any of these still open to go?
Oh, yeah. All of them are things that have space available. The Portland one only has a few seats left. And here's the cool thing. Like to Portland, I'm only taking 24 people maximum. On the National Park Tour, 23 people maximum.
Now, is the Portland, do you motor coach all the way?
No, we fly to Portland.
Fly to
Portland. And then we tool around for a couple of days by coach in town, and streetcar and aerial tramway and all the kind of different other fun ways to get that we've discovered to get around in Portland. So, you know, I think maybe what all of this kind of points to from Portland and ghosts and mystery tours and Chinese lanterns in Spokane is that when people travel now, they're looking for an experience. They want to see something or do something that they wouldn't see and do at home.
Right.
And so whether you're going to see Chinese lanterns in Spokane, or you're going to find out what makes Portland weird, or you're going to a place perhaps that you would have never visited on your own on a mystery tour to see some places of incredible scenic beauty, you're going to come home and feel like that you've had an experience. So dare I say, this sounds a little self-promotional at this point, but at Sports Leisure Vacations, that's sort of what we're about. We're trying to not only just take your money and give you a travel, an opportunity to travel, but to give you something that you'll come home and tell your friends about, that you'll have bragging rights for a while.
Very good. And links to all of what we talk about right here on the Travel Guys can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com.
Absolutely.
There you go. I'll tell you, Mark, I'm on board. I can't decide whether I want to go to all of them or just the Portland one or... Welcome back from Cleveland, Mark. I understand that there's a bit of a soiree going on in your apartment there.
Just in my apartment, yes. Hey, one piece of business we have to take care of, because I get in trouble if I forget this. The Sports Leisure travel card this week, we're back to $100 because our winners called in last week. Our winner this week is Reggie Rustaller. Reggie was with Clayton on an America's Heartland journey. Reggie, call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday before 4 o'clock, and you will win a $100 travel card, and congratulations to you. So, Thomas, we are here live in Cleveland, and we have a live studio audience. Believe it or not, don't we have a live studio audience here? See?
Awesome.
Sometimes we're live in a place and we're really not live. Clayton, get out of here. What do you folks think of Cleveland?
Yeah!
See? So we're doing okay in Cleveland here.
Cleveland rocks.
Cleveland rocks. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you have a good week there in Sacramento, my friend. And I will be in the studio next week to join you.
All right. We'll look forward to it. We are the Travel Guys. Again, you know, we're kind of spread out all over the country. Mark in Cleveland today. Romano here in Sacramento, looking out the window and watching them pack up all the bikes from the Amgen Tour. They always make the DoubleTree right next door to us, one of the staging areas. So if you're down there and you're listening, we're waving to you. Next week on the Travel Guys, we'll be here again with great tips on to make you a smarter traveler, whether you're traveling by air, trying to get you the best hotel rate, the latest on all of that ride-sharing stuff, Airbnb, and lots more. Want to take time out to thank our board ops and all of our news people and all of those that make the Travel Guys radio show happen. You guys have a safe and sane week. We'll see you next week, 3 o'clock, next edition of the Travel Guys.